Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Squarespace offers websites, online stores, marketing tools, and analytics. Basically, anything and everything you need to create an online business or website.
Mm-hmm. Squarespace has so much to offer. I can't recommend this platform enough. Not only do they have options to personalize your website by adding ad videos and social media accounts, they also have helpful blogging tools, analytics, and email campaigns that help grow and engage your audience.
Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/onion to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Dom!
William!
Here we are!
How's it going?
Fantastic.
Now, can we just do a little top to toe thing? Because you're wearing probably the best trainers I've seen you wear, certainly in the last 3 to 4 years.
These were a present, so I didn't choose them myself, which is probably why they're so attractive.
What was it, your stylish wife?
It was my wife and son.
Brilliant. Great colours.
Do you like them?
Very cool.
I'd let you borrow them, but you get bigger feet than me.
Slightly bigger feet, but your cool meter has gone up, I'd say, at least 17%. I like the trousers. They look like moleskin, are they?
They feel really good upon your buttocks.
Yeah? You're still working on your buttocks?
Yeah. I'm working hard, actually, Dom.
Mm. Yeah. Squats?
Squats, lunges, step-ups, step-downs. Step to the side.
Lots of stepping, step-o-matic stuff.
If you want to get your buttocks bigger, you have to move your legs, I hear.
Also, a high-fat diet. So could I recommend maybe putting some, you know, butter or lard on your pizza?
I don't mind that.
Stirring some duck fat into your pasta.
Is that good for your butt?
Well, for some people,
yeah.
When they retain fat, they retain it in certain areas. Ladies classically retain their fat more around the thigh and buttock area. Men around the Santa belly area.
Which is an indicator of a bad hailstone.
I'm a little predisposed to that too. My wonderful father has been fashioning a Santa belly and he looks pretty good with it.
Your dad always looks fantastic.
Before we bring in our guest, I had one question that I wanted to ask you, because this might not be something that we answer today, this might be an ongoing thing for people at home to think about and for you and I to think about. But I saw this thing online. I thought this is a great question to ask Billy. The Fellowship of... the Two Towers trilogy. Yeah. No, Two Towers trilogy.
There's only one Two Towers.
I'm drunk on Red Bull. The Lord of the Rings trilogy has a PG-13 rating in the United States.
Yeah.
That means that in each of the movies, you can have one swear word. Where would you put that swear word?
Are you really?
Yeah. For instance, in the Fellowship of the Ring, I could say, fucking Buckleberry Ferry, follow me. And you could get it past the censors. But wouldn't that be brilliant? So I want to ask people at home, where is the best place in each movie? Because Gandalf could go, fucking fool of a tuck.
Or before, like when I know the skeleton, I could go, oh, I'm really fucking sorry, Gandalf.
Oh, God.
That's brilliant.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Oh, let's look at Return of the King.
Sean Bean in the Mines of Moria. They have a fucking cave troll. Oh, the best one that I've thought about to now in Return of the King, and send in your suggestions if you have any. But fucking Aragorn, my friends, you fucking bow to no one. So send in your suggestions.
Yeah, where would you put the swear word?
It's one. What, you only allowed one.
Now, what if you said, like, say, for instance, Sean Bean in the Mines of Moria, when you say one, could he say, they've got a motherfucking cave troll?
I think
is that one word?
Yeah, motherfucker is one swear word, right?
Right, okay.
But then that's it for the rest of the movie.
That's it. Anytime anybody else wanted to swear, no.
No. So when Frodo and Gandalf are having a little moment in the Mines of Moria and Frodo says, there's someone following us, Gandalf could not then say,
no,
it's fucking Gollum.
We've already had it.
He's been following us for fucking days.
And then Return of the King all the way through, 4.5 hours, no swear words, right up till Sam comes home. I'm fucking home!
It's the gift that keeps on giving. Aragorn running into the final battle for fucking Frodo. All right. Well, should we bring our guest in? We're very excited.
Let's have a song before we do
that. Come on, let's do a song.
Love exciting in you. Come aboard. We're expecting you. What's that from, Dom?
I don't know. It's
the love boat.
Oh, the love boat.
Soon we'll be making another run or something like that.
Honestly, I never really watched The Love Boat, but pitch it to me. It's people isolated on boats kissing and hugging each other. Is that what's
going on?
You've
never seen The Love Boat.
Never seen
Have you seen...
Nowadays, it'd be called like The Sex Cruise or something.
Have you seen Fantasy Island?
No, is that the plane?
Yeah.
No, never saw
it. Well, they're both basically the same show set on different things.
So isolated the parts love of the boat. World.
They're on a boat. The Love Boat.
Yeah.
And you know, you get to know the captain.
Cappy.
The guy who helps people out.
Chef.
The lady who welcomes.
Hostess.
Another guy who helps out, but not as much. He likes to hide in the toilet.
Is it? Why? Does he have irritable bowel syndrome?
He's just having a break. Okay. But all these people invite people on every week, different people, and they're all looking for love, Tom.
Love.
And they might find it in the most unusual places.
Oh, well, you sometimes do. Orifices and stuff, is that what you mean?
So basically, that was The Love Boat. But the reason I'm singing it,
The Love Boat. I remember that bit. Very 70s, right?
Fantasy Island, the same sort of thing. You get to know the guy who owns the island. The owner. The little guy who helps him out.
The plane. That friend. And is he scared of planes? Is that what it is?
No, but the plane comes every week with new people. They have ideas for different adventures on Fantasy Island. And whatever your fantasy is, you want to be the CEO of a huge company,
yeah,
or you want to be the hero in your own story.
Well, we all are.
You'd like to be the lady who invented penicillin.
Tights. Oh, yeah, penicillin. Tights, yeah. Or penicillin. Both helpful.
You get to do that.
Is that Alexander Fleming that
invented? But through what, tights?
Tights, yeah.
Was it? He was Scottish, you know.
Was he?
Everybody who invented anything of any use was Scottish.
The telephone. What was the name of the guy who invented the telephone?
Alexander Bell.
He's Scottish, really?
Scottish. Tarmac.
Tarmac.
Tarmac
as they call it here. Asphalt.
Yeah, that he was Scottish. Waterproof clothing. Scottish.
Scottish.
The fridge freezer. Scottish.
You wouldn't have thought you'd need that in Scotland.
He did it by accident, though. He's trying to heat himself up. And if you've noticed, the back of a fridge is hot.
True.
And he accidentally made a fridge by trying to heat himself up.
Wow. So he's an accidental genius.
Yeah. He put a heater behind the box and the inside of the box got really cold. So he kept his eggs in there.
Wow. Well, here's another thing.
Yeah.
Why are we keeping our eggs in the fridge? Chickens don't.
Only in America.
Chickens don't keep their eggs in the fridge.
In Britain, you don't need to.
No, well, you don't need to in America, surely.
No, you do.
Why?
Because they're looked after in different ways.
The chickens?
No, the eggs. Whatever they do to eggs over here,
yeah,
before they go to, like, Ralph's or Vaughn's or wherever.
Those are supermarkets in the United States for people.
Before they go there, they do something to them.
Right.
They wave something over them, a light or something.
Right.
Ultraviolet or something. And after you do that to an egg, you have to keep it in the fridge. In Britain,
like you're making it up, honestly.
No.
That sounds like you're making that up.
I've looked that up, but I just scanned the article.
Right.
So it's absolutely true, but I don't know what it is America does that Britain doesn't.
Have you seen that moment where they scan the eggs to see if there's a baby chicken inside or if there's not a baby chicken inside? Have you
never seen that?
It's a light, and they sweep a light over it, and if there's a baby chick inside, it glows orange. And if it's just an egg inside, it doesn't. That's
incredible. There shouldn't be, because it's unfertilized, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes the cock can get in there.
It gets in amongst the chickens. Cockerel gets in amongst the chickens.
Do you know the difference between a rooster and a cockerel?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
It's nothing to do with types, is it?
No. Just spelling.
Is it just a different word, but they're exactly the same thing.
Same thing. All right, well, that's everything that Scotland's invented. Do you know the first ever railway on the planet was in Manchester, England?
Where did it go from and to?
Just went town centre to a mill, I think. Because it's cotton industry, so I think maybe some sort of textile mill.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, first ever railway on the planet was in Manchester, which revolutionised the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
The first time someone tried to make a railroad, they thought that the wheels and the railway track would have to be like cogs.
Oh, right. Like,
for it to stay on.
Not serrated. What do you call that? With a zip?
With a cog. Yeah. Like cogs.
Cogged.
Don't think that's but right. You don't need that, because the way the train holds on.
Mm.
So there you are. So maybe that was a guy in Manchester that did that.
Should we bring in our guest?
Yeah, because it's a happy and it's a guest about love, which is why I sang the love boat.
The love boat. Monday, Tuesday, love boat. Tuesday, Wednesday, love boat.
But he's not from the love boat, but he's from somewhere else where people have found love.
Oh, well, I can see the tie in there. So we're bringing in our friend. We were actually on our friend Nick's podcast, I don't know, a few months back now, Nick Vile.
Yep.
And we had a great time talking about us launching our podcast and asking him about
it. And we virtually launched it on the Vile Files,
which is
Nick's show. Podcast.
Well, let's bring Nick in and then we can ask Nick a whole bunch of things. Nick, if you're listening. Hi, Nick. Do you want to come in? Come on.
It's good we've kept a chair for you. It's good, Nick. We'll move around so you feel more comfortable. It's a little salty, a little malty. It's Marmite.
If there's anyone from Marmite who wants Billy and I to do the commercials and promote the product, or even just send us some stuff, there's some amazing Marmite t-shirts out there. Please send them to us, because we'll wear them on the podcast and you'll get free advertising.
Yeah. But really? If you want us to write the next jingle, we'll do that. I'll do it. I love Marmite now.
Yeah, I've loved Marmite for like a good 30 years, but Billy's new to Marmite and it's turned into one of your favourite new discoveries, hasn't it?
I'll tell you somebody who's got no idea what Marmite is.
Nick.
Nick Vile.
No idea.
Nick, should we pitch you Marmite? See if you like it.
I think you feel like you just did.
Well, I did, but I don't know if we were rolling at that point. Maybe we were. But it's eaten primarily by students in all over Britain because it is a relatively cheap spread, savoury spread that they tend to put on toast or beans on toast, or stir it into your sauces or your gravies to make it a little bit more tasty. It's a classic, probably the classic student food, isn't it?
And it's on toast. Dark, dark, thick,
viscous.
Black as night.
Yeah.
And it's very, very strong. Mm-hmm. It's a very strong flavor. Mm. People either love it or hate it. We're going to get you a tub.
Yeah.
As tub? A gift.
I don't think tub would be
the correct. What would you call that?
I would say jar.
It's a jar.
Yeah.
Tub.
We think tub is more plasticky.
Is it?
I guess. So. Also, it sounds like there might be like it would require a whole truck to deliver it.
No. You can get them like that big, or you can get Whoppers. Okay. I get Whoppers. But my all-time favorite sandwich, stick with me here, Nick. Brown bread, English butter, mature English cheddar, slices of green apple, rocket, I think you guys call it rocket, arugula, Marmite, crisps, the other bread.
Flavor of crisps, Tom?
It's a very intimidating sandwich.
It's a bit intimidating. I would say top of the list for the flavor of crisps, salt and vinegar. Number two, jalapeno. Number three, cheese and onion.
I would have said salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
It's an intense
sandwich. I said to Billy the other day, it's the type of sandwich where if you have two or three bites, I need to put it down and say, right, give me a minute. Let me just process that. Because it's a complicated set of flavors, but fuck me, it's good, Nick.
We'll bring you Marmite. We really will.
I hope so. I'll have to I'll take your word for it. Because actually, I've thought about you, Dominic, a lot,
Nick,
since our last podcast.
Just hold on. Wait a minute.
Well, sorry, Billy. But when we talked, when you were on my show, you talked about your love for animals and your backyard and how animals are speaking languages we can't possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I had my dog, Jeff, when I had you
Your
guys
dog's
on.
Called Jeff?
His name's Jeff.
Brilliant. Yeah. I like you a lot more, Nick.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And since I got Jeff in June, July.
Jeff in June.
And
July.
I got a small backyard, but very private, kind of a sanctuary type of area. And I pay attention to Jeff as he kind of reacts to certain things.
Yeah.
And my first reaction is like, what the fuck are you barking at?
Mm.
And I think of you because I realize that there are things going on that I can't see.
Absolutely. I mean, Billy has a dog.
And he's barking at like little rodents or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, and I always
think, smell from two, he's like, you know, three quarters of a mile away, a squirrel climbed a tree and that wind took 30 seconds to get to your dog or Billy's dog. And they'll go, squirrel.
Yeah.
And then they'll go,
and we don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
And I've done this scientifically because I've got a dog, Bobby Johnson, and I have scientifically farted very close
to
him.
Have you scientifically fart?
You do it with a pen and paper.
Yeah, work it out with a pencil.
Yeah, the calculator.
And then I'll...
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gradually go further and further away, and I can get to the end of Main Street, and Bobby will still notice that fart.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So anyways, also, I think of you. Every time.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, we're all animals. We're all in the animal kingdom. We have, through our evolution as humans, kind of pulled ourselves further and further away from the connection to all these other animals. But certainly dogs and cats and squirrels and snakes and spiders, they are much more connected to each other for good reason, because some of these animals can kill the other animals and some of them are food and some of them are prey. So the frequency that your dogs have in their ears to listen to other dogs or to listen for squirrels or to listen for snakes or all that kind of stuff is way more heightened than a human's would be.
Yeah, that's right. Jeff likes horses.
Uh-huh.
Anytime they're on TV. He's a big fan of the show called Yellowstone. Are you familiar with it?
Oh, yeah, my friend Hassie Harrison is on that. Okay, is that Kevin Costner as well?
Yes, yeah.
Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But what it's amazing how he likes... He loves horses.
Who, Kev?
Jeff.
Or Jeff, yeah.
Kev is like also a good dog's name. Does.
But it's not every single dog that recognizes a TV, is it?
Like, I don't some know. Do and some he's my don't. First dog, so I'm
no, it's good.
Does your dog watch the telly?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't like the TV.
Does he recognize the telly as a thing?
No.
See?
It doesn't matter what's going on in the TV. It's as if it doesn't exist.
You could have dogs on barking in a park. Yeah, you see? There
oh,
you
Jeff.
Go.
Jeff responds to the TV as soon as it's on.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I wonder what that is about. But that's great. I have a friend called Jamie Wozni who does a whole bunch of things in LA. But one of the things that she does in LA is she does an animal communication course. So if you're wanting to try and have more of a profound relationship with Jeff or any animal, she'll take you through this course of trying to have you understand how to connect a little closer with those animals. It's fun.
Have you taken the course?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. I've got a friend doing it right now, actually.
Interesting.
Hello, Chelsea. Well, should we talk about...
another places in New York.
That wasn't the borough in New York and London. That was my friend Chelsea, who lives in Costa Rica, who's taking an animal communication course. Unlike other restrictive diets or workout programs, Noon Weight uses psychology to empower you with the practical knowledge and skills you need to build smarter, more sustainable, long-term habits and behaviors.
Noom isn't like other trendy diets. It actually helps you get to a healthier you, which is why I love using it. Noom allows it to be about the process with ups and downs. I hate a diet when I feel like I can't eat anything. but Noom actually educates me on how to be healthy to help me reach my goals.
You're the boss. You decide how Noom weight fits into your life, not the other way around. 5, 10, or 15 minutes a day, how much time do you want to spend on the app is entirely up to you.
Dom, more than 60% of users lose 5% or more body weight by 16 weeks.
Wow.
And more than 60% of users engaged with the program keep the weight off for over a year or more.
That's amazing. Noom is driven by a singular mission to help as many people as possible live healthier lives through behavioral changes. They use the latest in proven behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good. And through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching, their platform has helped millions of users meet their personal health and wellness.
Sign up for your trial and get psychology-based support and motivation to reach your goal at noom.com/onion. That's noom.com/onion to sign up for your free trial.
Billy, you know I love cereal. I like to eat cereal not just for breakfast. Sometimes I like it as a little snack after my workout. Sometimes I like it when I'm watching a film. And we're all trying to eat better, especially now in the new year. But healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing, as I said, as a midnight snack right before bed.
Here's some facts, Dom. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving. Build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and maple waffle. They're all very delicious.
They're
Dom.
Super yummy. So go to magicspoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and start your new year off just right. And be sure to use our promo code ONION at the checkout to get $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
We have questions about The Bachelor. Okay. Would that
be
all right?
We've got lots of questions about The Bachelor.
Because I'm a bachelor. Are you a bachelor currently?
No.
Okay.
Are you married?
No. I mean, so it depends on how you define bachelor, but I am in a committed relationship.
So, yeah, you're not a bachelor because bachelor is a singleman, right?
True. Now, maybe your dog is attracted to the TV because you're a TV personality.
I don't think he would respond. Well, he might respond to me on the TV.
What, do you think he would notice it was you?
It's a good question.
Yeah, let's try
it. Well, it's hard because he's so attentive to the TV in general. I wouldn't really know. Yeah, well, it would be interesting if I was gone and Natalie, my girlfriend, put on a show that I was on.
You must keep the TV on when you're out to have some company for him, no?
He's kennel trained, so we'll put him away in his kennel. He likes it.
Okay.
He goes, it depends. If we're gone for like extended periods of time, we'll put him in his kennel, so it's more to keep him safe.
I've been flirting with getting a dog, but I'm nowhere closer to just flirting. I never had a dog in my life. Billy's had grown up with dogs and had a bunch of dogs, and I think my favorite dog ever is Bob.
He's a great dog.
Yeah,
Billy's dog. So
not to sound dramatic, but it's gone, please, it's changed dramatic. My life. I got a tattoo of him right here.
Oh yeah.
Oh, let's see him.
Let's have a look at that.
He taught me the value of being unconditionally liked and how that's better than being unconditionally loved.
Well, I'll talk about that. Extrapolate.
Well, your mom unconditionally loves you. You know.
Nobody kidding.
But she still thinks you're an asshole sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you know, when people say they unconditionally love you, it's almost like they almost have to.
Right.
There's a sense of like responsibility, you know, like your sister, your sibling, and they've learned to appreciate you. But a dog unconditionally likes you. Like Jeff's the only living thing in this world that I've encountered that likes everything about me.
Always likes you.
And that's a great feeling because I know that I don't have, like I have qualities that people don't like. Right. You know, like even your girlfriend. You're being annoying or what, you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
we get on people's nerves. And Jeff makes me feel like I never get on his nerves.
Or maybe Jeff doesn't, maybe the way that Jeff shows that he's not really into you right now doesn't resonate in a way that feels like you're unliked. Maybe when Bobby or Jeff is a little bit like, now I'm kind of done with this human, they jump off your lap and go sit in their kennel and have a little half hour to themselves. And you might just think, that's great. They're just having a little time.
I don't know why you want to ruin this for me, Dominic.
I'm just putting it out there that that could be also happening.
It's possible. Yeah. He makes me feel that regardless of whether it's true or not. And it's a nice feeling.
That's a great thing. I do hear a lot of the times with people who have dogs that say, the great thing about dogs is they're so selfless and they love you and they're always happy to see you and they're always happy to do whatever you want to do, which seems to be the case. It's true with the owner or possibly the owner's significant other or family and stuff, but they don't do that with everyone. Do you know what I mean?
The dogs.
Dogs are actually very single-minded about what they want to do. Like if you say sit, they probably will do it for their owner. But if it's someone else saying sit, they're like, no, I'm not gonna sit for you.
He often does it for me. Also, like for me, it's like Jeff and I are very close. Nellie and I live together, my girlfriend.
Right.
And she's just an incredibly likable person. So I've accepted and I quite like what I like about her is again, she's very likable. So I just feel like if it was like a one-off, if people like weren't worried about feelings, everyone just likes her more than they like me, except for Jeff.
That's like you and me, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is really nice. Everyone like, it's just Billy like we have a bond. He loves Natalie. But Jeff and I are very close. And right. And Jeff's the only person who would pick me over Natalie.
Ah.
Yeah, I think everyone would pick Billy over me.
Except for Nick.
Yeah, maybe you like me more than Billy.
It's a close race.
Well, let's wait until we get
I've thought
end.
About you more because of what you taught
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Nick.
My dog definitely likes my wife more than me.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
If we're all sat watching a movie, Bobby's favorite position is to sit just to the left of Ali's thigh
on a little Loves blanket. It. Which is one of my favorite places to sit.
I bet. He'll come and say hello to guests quite a lot.
Hello.
Me.
You.
He'll come check me out.
Yes.
A little bit of hanging out for like 10, 15 minutes. See if you've got anything going on. Are you going to give me a stroke type thing? But when he really wants to settle down, he goes and hangs out next to Ali.
I love dogs. Always loved them. The only sad thing about a dog, and I don't want to bring this up just now because you've got a tattoo and all that. They don't last as long as humans. And that is incredibly painful. It's awful.
As soon as I got him, I started worrying about that. Because I'm allergic to most dogs. And Jeff's not hyperallergenic. And so, you know, I've always liked dogs, but as someone who has allergies to, it's like most short-haired dogs, it's the dander.
I'm a little bit like that too.
And you know, I've learned to keep my distance and not cuddle with dogs.
So he doesn't sleep in your bed.
No, Jeff does. No.
Oh, he does.
Well, I wasn't sure. I spent most of my life just having boundaries with dogs because I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure how I would react.
Sure.
And then I played with Jeff's dad before Jeff was born. It was kind of like, will I have a reaction? And I didn't. And so, I had some boundaries. I was like, Jeff will sleep in his kennel and we'll have some boundaries. But now Jeff sleeps on my head sometimes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And what type of doggy is Jeff?
He's an Australian Cobber dog. He's like a golden doodle.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
But a more specific, they're bred to be therapy dogs, apparently.
Oh, like companion.
Yeah, companion.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Right. I remember Vigo wrote, I think some of my favorite work that Vigo ever does is, what are you laughing at?
80% your face, 20%.
What did I do with my face?
It's just funny.
Oh, thanks.
And 20%, I hope you're going to tell this story that I think you're going to tell.
No, I don't think I am because this is actually a sad story. you can tell it though. I love Vigo as an actor. He's a brilliant photographer, Vigo. Great painter. But I think my favorite medium that Viggo works in alongside acting is poetry. He's a really brilliant poet, Viggo Mortensen. And he wrote a poem about his dog having died. And he goes to pick up the ashes of his dog. And he talks about, I can't remember specifically, but he's like, you know, we used to run in the field and do this. I used to throw a stick for you and you used to chase after a bone and all this kind of stuff. And now you're a pile of dust in my hand, and it was brilliantly realized, that poem. So, I guess we should all just kill ourselves.
He also tells a story about that dog where he was somewhere else when it died, this dog. He was somewhere else when it died and he had to go and pick up its body from the vet to take it back to where they, you know, where they were from. And it was like a 5-hour drive, taking it back to get it cremated to become ashes.
Get back.
So he picked up the dog and it's in like a bag, obviously. And he put it on the passenger seat and he had this 5-hour drive back home to where they were from. And he said he was speaking to it. This is in one of his books, this story. I read it. And he spoke to this dog all the way home, reminiscing about all the lovely times they had and all that, getting ready for him to be cremated. And when he got him home and took him out the bag, it wasn't his dog. The vet had given him the wrong dog.
No. Oh, it's terrible.
And that dog had to listen to all those stories that he wasn't involved in.
Because Viggo can bang on, can't
he? I tell you what.
He can really bang on.
That's a sad and funny story.
It's, yeah, it's poetic in itself.
But is that enough about dogs? Well, I could talk about dogs all day.
Just very Hold on. This is only tiny, but do you remember Elijah had a dog that do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
In the twilight of his years, the dog got kind of randy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say his dog likes to stare at the wall. Mm. It will sit 3 inches away from the wall and just look at the wall.
Does he have a new dog?
For hours. Mm. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know if it's his randy dog.
So like a Magna Doodle. No, the randy dog's dead.
Tell me about the randy dog.
The randy dog wasn't randy, like horny for like a lot of his life, but in the final few years of its life, it got horny.
That's like you.
Yeah. And it would like, you know, try and shag the cushions or shag their leg or whatever. And they would push it off and go, no, don't do that. And as they pushed it off, it still had a couple of little like pelvic jerks going on that it couldn't stop. So he said that they would like kick it off and go, stop that. And then it would walk off into the corner. And as it was walking off, it would be like, still try to get the last couple of jerks.
Jeff does that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, great. Even though it will be wet and chilly in most parts of the country, running will still be a huge part of people's lives trying to achieve their personal best. The Wool Dasher Mizzle, a weather-repellent performance running shoe, is the first shoe of its kind. It's sustainably made from natural materials with a low environmental impact on the planet.
Fantastic shoes, Dom. And as you say, sometimes you don't want to go out and do some running, but when you've got good shoes, it helps you out, I tell you that. And I tell you, Dom, I wear mine when I'm not running. I like to just wear them just about town and looking good.
Guys, they look fantastic. They're extremely comfortable. You feel great wearing them because they're good for the environment. I'm not a big runner myself. I know you run a little bit more than me. You say they're fantastic when you're
running. They're great. I love them, Dom.
They're just a brilliant shoe and they look great as well. I absolutely love mine.
I do. And also they look different. So you've got a kind of different looking shoe, which I like. You feel like, yeah, I'm being a bit of a rebel here. And also, Allbirds built the Wool Dasher Mizzle using natural materials to have a low environmental impact. So you can break a sweat without breaking the planet. This winter, keep your feet cozy and dry with the Allbirds Wool Dasher Mizzles. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com. Oh, Dom, that really makes me...
Yes, the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business.
Yeah, I love how Shopify has all the tools and the resources for all your businesses to succeed from down the street to around the globe.
Yeah, your wife uses it, doesn't she? And loves it. For all of you who don't know, our very own The Friendship Onion website is powered by Shopify.
Oh, yeah, we love it. Without it, all you lovely people would have no way of receiving our Friendship Onion merchandise.
Like ours, Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more.
Shopify gains insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and all that stuff. It's really much more than a store. Shopify grows with you.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify.
Go to shopify.com/onion, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features.
Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/onion right now. That's shopify.com/onion. Well, let's talk about The Bachelor, because I want to ask Nick some questions. About
I have, yeah, a lot of stories.
Were you, what season of The Bachelor did you feature in?
21.
Oh, wow, that's the first one you're in. So you knew...
No, well, that's the season I was The Bachelor.
Okay. So obviously you knew about the show. You what? Do you have to be a fan of the show, watch it to get through the whole casting thing?
No, I mean, I was familiar with it when I first went on, but
already in The Bachelorette.
Yeah, that's usually
right?
How it works. You get casted on the Bachelorette.
Right?
So that. Yeah, so you first you're one of many before you could ever be the one. So
the
to speak.
One.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I've never seen The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I know Jimmy Kimmel's a big fan because he talks about it a lot on his show, and he's told it to me. Honestly, because I've not seen it, it seems a bit obscene.
Sure. 100%. Yeah.
One girl or one guy is looking for a choice of how many people are at the start?
30.
30. Yeah. And can he or she do anything? If he or she feels inclined, can they be like, right, we're closing the door. Good night. I'm going to give this a test drive.
The perception of that, yes. But in reality, you are filming a show. So there's obligations as the lead or the bachelor to fulfill.
To not do that. Like, is your contract that you sign huge?
It's long. Yeah.
Where it's like, you can't talk about any of this. You can't do this. You can't do that.
They're restricted. It's kind of like what they have. It's people always ask, is it scripted? And it's not at all scripted, but it's staged. So, you know, they give you rooms to play in. So it's kind of like, you know, hey, we have to stay in this room.
Yep.
You can do whatever you want in this room.
Okay.
You know, so there's boundaries of the things you can do.
Let's take it right back. So you started on The Bachelorette, right?
Yeah.
What is the audition process to get on The Bachelorette? What age are you at this point? How old?
I was older for what they did. I was
older third. Than you are now.
Yeah.
Benjamin Button.
I was 33.
Okay. And they just held an open audition, or you knew a friend?
My friend's wife signed me up.
Okay.
Without me knowing. And then I got a
brilliant.
Call, I got a call. I was in San Francisco for work, and I got a call, and they were like, hey, this is so-and-so from ABC The Bachelor. Are you still interested in being on? And I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, you know, and I think they were typically used to a reaction like that. It's like, oh, maybe your friend signed you up, but I was living in Chicago at the time. Said, and they will do casting visits. Their casting department will go to major cities, you know, like Chicago and do to meet locals.
Right.
So we'll be there in Chicago. We'd love to meet you. So at the time, my first reaction was, there's no way I'm going to go on. But at that point in my life, I'd never been to LA. I didn't know anything about TV or entertainment. So I was like, sure. I thought it would be fun to just kind of go through the process just to see what that was like.
Yeah.
Fully expecting to not get casted or decline if they asked.
And then, so you're on that TV show.
Yeah.
And you did really well on it, right?
Depends on you ask. Yeah. I was a focal point of the season. Yeah.
So then you get asked back to another Bachelorette.
Well, then I was involved in that in world. And as, you know, just like actors might date actors. And it's a traumatic experience that you go through. And so they have new seasons. And I became friends with a girl who was on the next season.
Right.
They casted her as the Bachelorette. And we had this bond or connection. And they found out about it. And I had a crush on her at the time. And so they gave me the opportunity, if I wanted, to pursue her on the show. And I said yes.
So now you're living in LA? By this point?
And after that experience, I moved to LA.
Okay, cool.
And The Bachelor and The Bachelorette includes this flower giving rose giving.
Yeah. Flower giving, yeah.
And that means you've been selected for the next round.
It's
right?
Exactly. It's
but each week there's one less rose.
It depends. Any given week, one might go home, two, three. Just depends on, the producers will decide. It depends on what's going on, how much. It really depends on what's going on. In the back of my mind, they're always thinking, per episode, how is this going to fit? How do we want to air this? They're filming a show.
And obviously,
no secret.
Obviously, emotions are involved. I mean, obviously, throughout the course of so many seasons of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, clearly people have fallen in love. Clearly people have broken up. There's been emotions involved. In your time on those specific seasons and also throughout the course of the show, has there been like really heightened emotions of like, something potentially getting physical or some real serious stuff going on?
Nothing physical.
You're not allowed to do that, obviously.
Well, you're not allowed. You get kicked off. In my alt time, it's arguing. The fights are arguments. There's never. They've flirted with suggesting there might be a physical altercation, but
doesn't happen.
In my experience, it's never.
Like before the ad break, they'd be like, oh, come back after the break.
Yeah, but.
But it just turns into.
It's really just petty.
Arguing.
It's very high school petty kind of arguing.
We've never had an argument.
On a feeling standpoint, there's real heartbreak and there's real tears.
At times, right. Yeah.
Because, the emotions must get real and get really high.
It's a social experiment. You guys ever heard of the Stanford prison experiment?
Sure. Yeah, the prisoners and the prison warden.
It's that.
Right.
Yeah.
You're put into a very controlled environment.
High stress,
lack of sleep, and not because it's not always deliberate. It's just time. You guys film movies. Like sometimes you got to take time and hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
You're kept in the dark a lot and you have a singular focus. There's no distraction. There's no phones, no communication with your family or friends. So then you become obsessed with whatever it is you're supposed to focus on. And then they give you validation through, if the lead likes you, they will validate you, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's an environment based off withholding love. You spend far more time away from the person than with them. And so you get to, kind of like in high school when we're younger, we don't get to spend the night with the people we like or we have to ask our parents for permission. It's a lot like that type of love. And so you romanticize. It's a relationship built on the idea of things, not the reality of things.
But clearly the producers are manipulating that whole situation. So if they see a potential, kind of spark point between two girls or two guys or a little love triangle, they're going to lean into that. Were there times where you kind of resented what the producers were doing?
I think sometimes the producers are a scapegoat for cast people go on to kind of blame their decisions. Listen, they are producing a TV show. Mm-hmm. And what I describe them as, they're the friend who tells you to buy the boat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, practically speaking, if you go to a friend and says, hey, I'm thinking of buying a boat, what do you think? A good friend, a pragmatic friend would be like, well, let's weigh the pros and cons. And it's going to be fun, but how much can you really use it? It's a cost, a depreciation. And the one friend will be like, you should totally buy the boat because all they're thinking about is having a friend with a boat.
That would be so much fun.
And so the producers are that, they want you. They're not there to tell you what you shouldn't do. If you're thinking and feeling something, they're there to maximize how you express yourself in any given moment. They're not there to offer, kind of a alternative point of view or they want you to maximize your emotions. So at the end of the day, you're in charge of your own emotions. They don't make you do anything,
But as you say, you're in this environment in the same way that a lot of lead actors and lead actresses fall in love in a movie because, you're there pretending you're in love and it becomes, as you say, it's just one focus. You're all in this world together. So if you don't mind me asking, and maybe you don't want to talk about this because I know you're in a relationship and all that, but you did fall in love.
I felt real feelings. I felt like what felt like real feelings.
Because you asked someone to marry you, right?
I only proposed when I was the Bachelor.
When you were the Bachelor.
I mean, the first season, I probably would have if she didn't break up with me beforehand. And the second season, the same, but both of which rejected me right before the actual proposal.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's dramatic. Okay. I'm going to go back and watch that.
We're used to rejection, though, aren't we, as actors? I genuinely think I am quite good with rejection, and I do think it's because of the job that we do.
Yeah. Well, you've had a lot of it.
I've had a lot of rejections over the years.
I came from a sales background, same thing.
I just think, you know, if you do it for a living where someone, you've talked about this before in terms of if you want to be an actor and someone doesn't like what you do, they're specifically saying, I don't like you.
Yeah.
I am not interested in what you are bringing to the table.
Or more related to love, it's not so much I don't like you, because in relationships in life, it's more, I just like them better.
Oh, yeah.
Which is almost worse.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you're good, but they're better. And that's a probably, I assume, you know.
Well, that's the same in acting.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. You know, and you were all right in the audition.
You might nail it, but like,
this person's better.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes sometimes your agent's terrible for that kind of thing, huh? Oh, when they go like that. They absolutely loved you.
They thought you're fantastic.
But they loved him just a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, well, that doesn't
You
help.
Feel helpless right there. Right?
A little bit.
Because you have nothing to work on.
Yeah.
But it does make you much more resilient in the, you know, just civilian life that you're walking around, to try something, to be like, you know, would you like to go for dinner? And you think, well, the worst that can happen here is they can say no. And because you get told no so many times in your professional life, they just go, no. And you go, all right, great. Fine. What about your friend? No. Okay, see you later.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Well, tell us what we've got here, Nick, or have we already talked about it?
No, we haven't. And we're definitely running.
And where does this,
where does this originate
from?
It's a family recipe from my dad's side of the family.
What? So this that's gone nationwide has come specifically from your family?
I don't know. I'm quite certain my family didn't create it.
But do you know if it came from a certain region of the United States
of
America?
No. But I do know as far as it relates to my knowledge of it, it was my dad's side of the family. It's a snack my dad
Hello, liked, Nick's
he
dad.
He learned from his father.
Well,
Well,
according to Johnny Clues here, who you'll see on your right.
There he is
right there.
Thank you.
And John will often get things wrong. Thank you very much, John.
Can we bite it?
Oh, shit, you see?
Oh, no. Oh,
look at this. Look at that.
Johnny Clueless.
I can't believe it.
Oh, no, you're going to smell a pickle.
You said I looked fantastic today as well.
All your moleskin trousers, guys.
Oh, I can't believe that Johnny Clues rubbed his pickle on my trousers.
That's a disgrace. Nick, you've already started it.
Good, yes. Yeah,
oh, Nick, you've got to wait.
I want to make sure he.
Nick, you've got to hold your horses.
John, according to Johnny Clues, who just absolutely destroyed my trousers with his pickle.
He's ruined them. You'll have to get those dry cleaned.
He said it originated during the Great Depression.
That makes sense.
There'll be another Great Depression because of my trousers, because I love them.
Yeah. It's a shame that they call it the Great Depression.
Yeah, it should be the awful depression. Americans were cutting corners any way they could. And pickles and peanut butter were cheap and plentiful at the grocery store. The sandwiches, including some for peanut butter and mayonnaise, found themselves at lunch counters in school lunches and Depression era cookbooks. However, today, mention the words peanut butter and pickled slices in the same sentence, you'll probably hear a proclamation of disgust.
Give us a quick proclamation of disgust.
There
you go. Great example. Now, is this something you've known since you were a little kid?
Yeah.
And is this like a comfort food for you? Do you eat it when you maybe are hungover? Do you eat it when you're watching a movie? What is this?
As a kid, it was just a regular snack I enjoyed. And as an adult, it'll be something that I'd be like, usually what will happen is be something, you know, if I get a new girlfriend or a friend and we'll be talking like something version
like, us,
like some
friends.
Version of this. Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, you gotta try it, and then I'll remind myself how much I like it, and it's a good snack to have.
Would Jeff have a bite of this or not?
Sure, Jeff will eat anything that I let him.
Oh. Yeah.
In the country, the good old uncle US of stateside, do you think a lot of people know this, or is this kind of a strange sandwich for people even from
Rarely,
the States?
Most people are surprised, but once in a while I'll encounter someone who will also vouch for it. I almost had a Billy.
You almost
did a Billy Boyd there. I'm going to give mine a I'm going to give mine a buy.
Johnny's already getting stuck in.
John's loving it.
I tend to put
John's
more peanut butter on it.
John's loving it by the look of him.
I tend to put more peanut butter on it.
There should be more peanut butter, apparently. Hold on. John's coming with more. Right. I'm going to wait and get it the way that you like it, Nick, because we don't want to get it the wrong way. What?
I'm liking it.
Right, no, hold on.
It's very good, but...
Stick a bit on there, would you, John?
A little bit more peanut butter. I'm
Yeah, slather a bit of peanut butter all over his sandwich. Come on, John. All over his trousers, John.
Well, it's too late. The pants have gone, John. That looks like a pee-pee stain. There you go. Look at that. You look like a thing, mate. You look like a... What do you call those guys?
Idiot?
The guys have been put the thing on the wall. What do you... What's that? A plasterer?
Oh, plasterer. Painter and labourer.
Right, here we go, Nick.
I would have... You'd think the combination of pickles and peanut butter don't go well, but they're both salty, aren't they? So the salt, it kind of marries together.
Peanut butter has a bit of sweetness to it.
Initially didn't like it. Primarily doesn't like it. Generally doesn't like it.
I don't think I like it.
Doesn't like it. I like it.
Really? You're one, yeah.
It feels... It tastes like something you go, it's all right. Remove the pickle. It'll be better.
No, I actually quite like it.
Wait a minute.
I would say a great hangover cure. I suppose if you're hungover, drinking pickle juice is a good idea.
I've heard that.
So eating pickles with peanut butter, which is also good for a hangover, would be good.
How's bread for hangover?
No, I don't think great.
Right, so that's 2 out of 3.
Initially, like that meatloaf song, right?
Is it getting better? No.
It's getting better all the time. Like the Beatles song.
No, that's that. Oh, yeah, that's the Beatles. I was doing U2 there. Do you feel the same?
That is getting better.
Initially, you had suggested banana and mayonnaise sandwiches. Was that not
that
you?
Was definitely not me. I'm not a fan of mayonnaise nor bananas.
John's telling us that it came from a ceiling fan. Is that right? Came from a ceiling fan. A fan sent us in banana and mayonnaise sandwiches. And
we'll
try
that another time.
No, I said.
That sounds like my nightmare.
If I were French, absolutamon non.
Would you let someone peel your banana?
I
wouldn't.
I don't like bananas.
All right.
I will put bananas in smoothies because I can't taste it because they are healthy.
Do you freeze it? Do you freeze it first?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well,
freeze your banana before you have it in a smoothie.
Then you get a cold smoothie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just put ice in it because I'd rather have a fresh.
Well, I don't
fruit.
Like no, to dilute no. my smoothies.
It was a bodybuilder, a woman bodybuilder who told me, and she says that is a secret.
Was it Fatima Whitbread?
No.
Okay. Do you have any strange things with food? Like I have don't touch my eggs, don't touch my beans, don't touch my bread. You have don't touch my fruit. I'll tell you something a little strange about you because you cook for me quite a bit.
Mm.
You tend to be quite sparing with seasoning.
No.
You are?
I am not. ask my wife, she goes crazy about
this
stuff.
Because when I'm at your house, you'll bring a wonderful mashed potato, some vegetables, a piece of fish, and I'll always say, have you got any salt and pepper? And then you'll run off and go, oh, yeah, salt and pepper. It's like you bring it without anything.
Oh, my wife would disagree with you there, Tom.
Sorry,
and
Alison.
And you know what my wife really hates? Whenever I salt anything, I throw the salt over my left shoulder.
Mm-hmm. For the devil.
For the devil, because he's at your shoulder, Nick. He's at your shoulder at all times. And he doesn't like salt in his eye. There's one thing the devil doesn't like, salt in his eye.
Well,
so
supposedly.
Always over your left shoulder. But my wife hates that because obviously it lands on the floor.
Well, no, supposedly the major... like formative structure of a devil is similar to a slug. It's true. And as we know, slugs respond to salt very badly. You'll kill a slug if you put salt on a slug.
See if a slug's have it sucking your blood.
No, that's a leech.
Oh, a leech. If there's a leech on you, Nick, a little bit of salt.
There's a difference between a slug and a leech.
Oh, there's a massive difference. A completely different animal. Yeah. But a slug will eat all of your garden vegetables or your fruits and stuff. So my dad, every so often, will leave little saucers of beer around the garden. And slugs love beer, but they're complete alcoholics. So they'll drink so much beer that it will kill them. So you'll see a whole bunch of dead slugs the next day, which is not the worst way to die. They basically got drunk.
Yeah. And then died?
And then died from drinking too much, like Richard Burton.
Did he die in your dad's garden?
Yeah, he did. Eating my dad's vegetables. This is good.
I'm starting to like it more, Nick.
It takes a little getting used to.
Tell us about something strange about the way that you eat.
I'm trying to think, Dom, but I can't think of anything that I don't mind people bringing me a fruit bowl. In fact, I'd probably thank them if someone they brought me a nice bowl of fruit.
I would have to try not to be rude.
Yeah.
You'd say, I'll eat that later or something.
Because my natural reaction would be like, oh.
Oh my God.
How dare you bring me a cherry?
I would, my innards would be offended.
If somebody touched your bread, if somebody said to you, look, I've made your perfect sandwich, Marmite, English cheese, rocket.
All I can think.
I'm not finished yet.
Oh, go on.
Salt and vinegar, Chris.
Yeah.
There's one thing, miss. English butter. English butter.
Yeah.
That was it?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What else?
You've done the Chris, rocket, cheese, butter.
That's it.
No, slice of green apple.
Slice of green apple.
Slice of green apple.
You would say to them, no, thank you.
No, I'd probably say, I wouldn't say no, thank
the
you.
The cheese and the apple, I can't.
Oh, cheese and apple's fantastic. Mature English cheddar and a bite of an apple and then mature English cheddar. That is a great flavor combination, isn't it?
What?
I just said it. Mature English cheddar
and a bite of apple. He's too involved.
I was just getting my pickle in my mouth there.
I beg your pardon. You were the first person to tell me in New Zealand of a strange flavour combination which goes really well together. Strawberries and balsamic vinegar. You told
me. Delicious.
You just dip the strawberries in balsamic vinegar.
I can see that.
It must
enhance the flavour of the strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Brings out the sweetness of it. If someone brought me a sandwich, I would of course say thank you, but I would be fixated on how much they've touched the bread in moving it around and fashioning all the things on top of it. I'm all right with my mum or my dad making a sandwich or my brother.
You're right, because people get handsy with bread if they make you a sandwich. It's like they almost forget that.
That could be a new thing for you, Nick, that you won't be able to have a sandwich now.
Is there not something that everyone else likes and you're just like, nah, I'm not into it?
I don't like cinnamon.
Yeah, you don't like cinnamon, do you?
You don't?
No. I used to really hate cinnamon.
As a kid, what we would make is toast, butter, and cinnamon.
Well, that's where it started, Nick.
Yeah. Probably the Great Depression.
Nick's house.
No, somebody else's house. We were on our way to a fun fair, like, you know, Six Flags or something. And they made that in America. And they made me toast and butter and cinnamon, and I ate it. And then I went on a big dipper, and I was sick to my stomach, Nick. I always thought of that.
It's Pavlovian.
It's Pavlovian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate coincidence that you went on that ride. Yeah.
But I'm starting to get back onto cinnamon, but I wouldn't thank you for it.
John's saying, would Marmite work on pickles and peanut butter on sandwich?
Not with peanut butter, I wouldn't think.
I don't think that combination.
Pickle and cheese.
Marmite's very savory, and you need something a bit more in the savoury world.
Oh, it's a burp there.
We should give it some scores. Nick, we score these things in three separate categories.
Okay.
Taste, aesthetics.
Looks.
The look of it. Usefulness. You can choose whatever that word means.
I think it would score high in two of the three.
Okay. It's actually the same scoring they use on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looks.
It's out of 10. No, taste.
Taste, I mean.
Yeah, taste.
Taste. Go on.
Are you asking me?
You're our guest.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a 10 for me.
It's a 10 out of 10. There's not that many things that have had a perfect 10.
There's only two things that have had a perfect 10, and only from Dom. Mm.
Marmite.
Well,
and
I mean,
Guinness.
I'm biased. This is like my childhood favorite snack.
Wow. Mine's Moams, and we'll have Moams on another episode.
Moams.
I mean, you did a fantastic job, and I thank you,
Johnny Clues.
Johnny, for making this. You know, we're in a studio, and he had to use an oven, but
yeah, it's not very energy
fresh
efficient.
Off the toaster. I also like it on an English muffin.
Oh gosh,
as the toast base.
Have you had a crumpet?
I haven't.
Or a pikelet?
I have not.
Have you had a pikelet?
No, I enjoyed a tart.
But if you have a really hot piece of toast and a lot of gooey melted peanut butter and a pickle.
Well, you should try a crumpet.
That's when it's a real 10.
A crumpet is basically a pikelet with a big fat ass, and a pikelet is like a
We're talking about food still?
Yeah. It's like a condensed pancake, isn't it? A pikelet?
I don't know what a pikelet is.
You know what a crumpet is, right?
I know what a crumpet
is. So imagine a crumpet with the top 3 inches cut off, so you've basically just got the base. That's a pikelet.
Oh, I've never had a pikelet.
Sounds light.
Pikelets are good. They might be just a northern thing, but a crumpet with peanut butter and a pickle.
That'd be good.
Lovely. Yeah. I enjoy it. A crumpet, because it all melts in.
Oh,
that's lovely. Yeah. I'm getting more and more used to this. Well, and I'm down to my last bite, and it's the perfect bite.
Nick's giving it 10. How much are you going to give it out of 10, William Boyd?
I'm only giving it 6.4.
That's fine. I mean, hey, you started at a 2.
Exactly.
I'm going to give it a 7.3 out of 10.
Well done, Tom.
Aesthetics.
How does it look? How does it look to you, Nick?
Well, again, I've...
It's not the bell of the ball.
I'm familiar. Yeah, it's...
It's not the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I think that's what makes it so flavorful, is because it presents as potentially harmful to you. It's a sneaky, sneaky, delicious snack.
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's a 3 or a 4 in terms of looks.
A 3 or a 4.
So do you want to give it a 3.5 then?
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5.
Mm. I think it's not ugly, Dom. I'm going to give it a 6.9.
I'll give it a 6.5.
Well, lovely, lovely.
It's not terrible, but it's bread and peanut butter and pickles. I mean, it's not changing the world, is it?
Usefulness.
Useful. Now, sometimes we have things on here that are very useful. You can put it in a pie. You can make ice cream from it. You can, you know what I mean?
You can travel with it. You can bring it to a party.
I mean, we learned that this was invented during the Great Depression when
people didn't have much.
People literally needed.
What we have to, exactly. We have to find something. Hold on. Ugh, something fell. People really take to the acidic, vinegary taste of the pickles combined with the rich and subtle sweet and salty taste of the peanut butter. They also like the crunch of the pickles with the smooth, creamy, creamy
peanut
butter.
The crunch of the pickle is a very satisfying moment.
So does that make it any more useful?
Well, define useful, because you say I think practical.
Yeah, like, it's general.
You know, you could. You can eat this for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Good point.
Snack.
To be fair, you can.
I've
eat
also
most
noticed,
for breakfast, lunch,
as someone who's eaten this my whole life, that most grocery stores will have their peanut butter and pickles next to each other.
Well, like as if they're trying to send
you a message. As if this has been a thing for some time. Not everyone, but I noticed this at an early age, and now when I go to a new grocery store, I will see if they. Many grocery stores will put their peanut butter and their pickle selection not only in the same aisle, but quite literally next to each other.
Neighbors.
So it's easy to shop for.
To be fair.
You can pack it for a plane.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You don't need to like warm it up for it to be good. I mean, yeah, like if you made a sandwich, it's not going to be your best version of it.
I was going to say, if you have kids playing, you know, a sports game or whatever, and you're showing up late to pick them up and take them home or watch the second half, if you brought peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. Yeah. They're not going to spoil. They're pretty portable and they're good for after a sports game.
And as Nick says, if you're maybe get a new friend and you're chatting to them, you're chatting about food. Do you know any weird food? Yeah. Wait till I tell you about my childhood.
It's an easy bet to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a curiosity.
Because most people aren't familiar with it will bet that they don't like it.
Mm.
And they normally do.
Yeah. I like that.
And it's a great way to like, and then you know,
it breaks the ice.
I won't like, it breaks a good conversation
it's a nice
starter.
Breaker. Yeah,
and it's a great way to tell people, "I told you so."
Yeah, I do think most things can be eaten for breakfast, lunch.
It's very satisfying when your girlfriend told you she would never like it, and it becomes her favorite snack.
Oh,
so it's useful in that. See, I was thinking
manipulation.
we did a thing on this show once in Billy and Dom Eat the World. We did jardinera. Do you know what that is?
I heard of it, but what is it?
It's like pickled
vegetables
and jalapenos. Jalapenos.
It's like a topping.
Yeah,
of
thing. No, that if we had to do that again and we did useful, I would give that 10.
It's
because
brilliant.
I use it in everything now.
It's great in pasta. It's great in pizza. It's great in anything for breakfast.
So you judge usefulness by versatility.
Yes. Yeah. But I see what you're saying and I like it breaks the ice. I like that it's a conversation piece. I think that makes it useful. So I'm going to go with 8 point. 5.
I just bought our friend Nigel a big jar of Jardinera.
You're very kind
for his birthday.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I am a kind man because he never had it. And I was like, I'm sending it to you. You'll love it. And he does love it. I have it sometimes for breakfast. I just take a spoonful, drain out the oil, straight in my mouth.
And then straight to the toilet and he has a right good shit.
Yeah, I do. I love the shit. Usefulness. I think they're saying it. I do think it's quite versatile, like you said, Nate. It's a good choice of words. I'm going to give it, what did you give it?
8.5.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8.5.
Wow.
It's not bad.
What do you think, Nick?
I'm going to go with 9.5.
Jeezy wheezy. That's a high score.
Well, you can't use it in every food, but it has a variety of benefits. Situational benefits.
It's not unhealthy for you, especially if you pick the right peanut butter.
It's not unhealthy. I don't know how healthy, but it's not unhealthy. There are worse, and it's a savory snack, you know, like a dessert.
Yeah.
If you're
trying to stay away from like sweets and candy, but you still liked a good dessert or something.
Yeah.
That's almost one.
Yeah. It's like you would still get that kind of satisfaction of like,
I think you have to be mindful of what peanut butter you use because some peanut butter is absolutely awful for you.
Is it?
Yeah, it's full of hydrogenated fat. And
I thought they were all just like 100%
No. Nick, you've brought us a fantastic song for us to rate if it's funky or not. This is a song that I grew up with.
Oh, wait a minute, John. I was going to say something about last week. Because remember, we had
Rammstein.
Rammstein was on last, and I thought... I thought it was the band that won the Eurovision Song Contest.
You
remember
thought it
was
that? Box Fizz.
No, but I
when
found
they
out
the skirts off.
One of our listeners wrote to us and told us who was the band that won the Eurovision Song Contest, and it was a Finnish band, and they were called.
You'll never get it. You won't know. So that great story, Bills.
I was hoping Johnny was going to come in.
Great story there.
One of our listeners told us who the band was that I thought it was last week.
Rammstein.
I don't know.
No, he doesn't know. No. Oh, God. Both as bad as each other.
I don't know how you managed to get through this with us two.
Du hast me. We did Rammstein last week. Do you know Rammstein? Pretty sure they're a German band.
Yeah. Sure. And we're getting too deep into the rabbit hole here.
Well, you told a story that had no ending.
Well, I had half an ending.
All right. So we ask our guests each week to pick a song that they think is funky. You must have grown up with this song the same way that I did. Yeah. I think I was 8 or 9 when it came out, and it was my favorite song on the planet for that summer.
It reminds me of my father.
Uh-huh.
And my father would often, he had like a Saturday morning tradition of peanut butter and pickles, blasting his favorite tunes. And I would like wake up to this. And so it's kind of nostalgic for me. And then when I learned about the origin of the songs, I thought it was even cooler.
And also a band that has had some incredible songs over the years. And we'll talk about that in a sec. But should we listen to the song first?
Let's listen.
Here we go. All right, cut.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it.
Hey, what's he doing with his guitar there? He's got some sort of flange on it.
He's got a flanger, isn't he?
The reason why I say flange specifically there is, you know that word flange is attributed to John Lennon.
Is it?
George Martin had explained a little effect that they'd put on the guitar, and George Martin said, it's kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that with the little flange. And John Lennon said, what? Flange? And he went, yeah, flange. It's this kind of thing that we call it. So from then on, over the years in recording, John would say, put a bit of flange on that guitar, and flange became the word for the thing, but it was kind of just a nickname for it, John Lennon. But what are they doing with the guitar?
There's a lot going on with the guitar there. The thing with Knopfler was he never used a pick, did he? He was all just fingers.
Right.
He was all fingers. He was thumbs. Really... He was all fingers and thumbs. Yeah. He was a very good kind of picker. So it sounds like he's doing a big kind
of... Wow. Dire Straits, amazing band. It's the first album I ever bought in my life. I don't know.
I have absolutely no idea. No. But I do remember the name.
Of what?
Of the band who won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Box Fizz.
Lordy.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
One of our listeners wrote in and says, the band who won the Eurovision Song Contest that I was trying to find the name of last week were called Lordy.
Lordy Miss Clordy.
There you go.
First album I ever bought in my life, Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits, which includes this song and also Walk of Life and the song Brothers in Arms, which is incredible.
They're a great band.
Yeah, they're amazing. Romeo and Juliet, remember that song? They do a kind of a modern New York version of Romeo and Juliet. Sultan's a Swing. It's pretty funky.
Here's the thing I don't like about Dire Straits, though. They always make me think of like a pub band, because pub bands always play a lot of Dire Straits. So then I think Dire Straits are a kind of pub band.
Yeah, they're not really, are they? They're quite sophisticated.
What was the first record you bought, Nick?
Bought or owned? Like bought?
Bought. Actually, took the money.
Maybe
you too young to have got the money and went down and bought a record?
Well, there are CDs.
CDs.
Oh,
then.
I was buying records. We're a lot older than you, Nick. Yeah. It's a shame.
Well, I had a cassette was gifted to me before I could afford it.
Yeah.
This is an embarrassing answer.
No, I love it.
It was the soundtrack to Biodome.
Biodome? Well,
with Pauly Shore. And it's
a movie.
It's a bad movie.
Pauly Shore?
Soundtrack.
That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. It's an embarrassing
Who did
answer.
The soundtrack, do you know?
Well, it's a variety of songs.
Oh, just a variety of songs.
I've never been that musically intelligent. And so I would I would watch a movie and like it, like this music that, if I liked the movie, I saw this movie when I was like a teenager. I was a big Pauly Shore fan back in his heyday. Pauly Shore and who's the Baldwin? Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen, one of the
Was Sean Astin in it? He was in a lot of those movies, wasn't
Encino
he?
Man. He was in Encino Man. Well, first of all,
called California Man in the UK.
Yeah, because
nobody knew what Encino was.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what Encino like. I was a kid from Wisconsin, so it might as well. Dom, it could have been any. Yeah.
Here's my hand.
Yeah.
Where, if my hand was the United States of America,
do the right.
Do you think that's better?
Yeah. Because then you've got the panhandle.
Wait a minute. There. Yeah. No, I can't do it. I don't know how I did it.
You did it last time.
How did I get America? Oh, there.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there's Florida.
Yeah.
California.
Ish.
New York.
Yeah.
Canada. Mexico. Where is Wisconsin? Don't give them any clues, Nick.
Wisconsin. I'm going to guess. Oh, God.
Point to the point.
Point there.
No, but
wait, where would it go?
It's a little up and to the right. Up and to the right. Yeah.
Right there. It's the cheese state. Is that right? Cheese heads.
That's
eat a lot of cheese there or you make cheese there? Is that what it is?
You're right there. Yeah.
Do you make cheese in
Wisconsin? The east is more condensed than the west.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of states up there.
Yeah.
There's not many states here and there's hardly any over there.
But why are you called the cheese state?
Well, it used to be, now California is. It has been for 30 years, but they still do produce the most amount of dairy farms. It's known for dairy farms.
Okay.
But California has been producing more dairy for the past 30, 40 years.
Let's rate Dire Straits' Money for Nothing out of a level of funk. So we do it out of a level of Brahms, which is no funk, to Prince, which is high level of funk, and anything in between.
But funk doesn't have to, we're not talking it has to be funk.
Like traditional funk.
I would think
funk,
traditional
like,
funk. It just, is it funky to me?
Yeah,
does it make funky? Me feel like, yeah, that was funky? See, because of the
you
the,
don't like Dire Straits.
Well, no, I don't, can't say. See all the ones you mentioned. Romeo and Juliet,
Sultan's
a Swing. I love
Brothers
all that.
In Arms.
But I wouldn't put an album on. And it's because of the pub thing.
Oh yeah.
You know? And so because of that, I'm gonna have to go towards the classical. But people like to play it. So I'm gonna say middle of the road U2.
Okay. Not that funky, but it's
not U2 when they're, or U2 when they're like, whoa.
Right.
But just like, you know, Unforgettable Fire.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say Jermaine Jackson funk.
Oh, Jermaine
I find them
Jackson.
Quite funky.
Quite funky. Like,
do you sing We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off?
Was that not Janet?
No, that wasn't. It was a guy. Unless
it?
Janet would suddenly turn masculine. Do you remember
we
that song?
We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Oh no, we can dance and party all night.
And what do they drink?
And drink some cherry wine.
Oh, remember that song?
Oh, I do.
Cherry wine.
What if somebody brought you
disgusting.
Cherry wine though? Would you be like, don't bring
I don't
me
even
the cherries?
Know what cherry wine is.
Nick, it's been great to have you.
Brilliant. I've only had a couple of conversations with you over since we've got to know you, but I like how you look at the world. You've got a good sort.
Thanks.
I like things like the you notice that the peanut butter and the pickle are next to each other in the store.
Yeah.
I like that kind of mindscape, and I like that you like your new dog.
I was just about to say, I like your ongoing, evolving, beautiful, close relationship with your doggy wog. And if
appreciate
you want to do an animal communication class,
I'll let you know.
Let me know.
Do I still smell good?
I don't know. I haven't smelled you. Hold
Give him a sniff. Go on. Headphones. Hang on. Wait. We're waiting. Bated breath. Did he smell a pickle?
I can confirm you still smell good.
Oh,
and do
welcome.
You know what? When I was on my way here today, I noticed my cologne and I thought I might spray a little bit on because Nick's coming in today.
Yeah, give it a little spray.
But I forgot.
Okay. Because usually you smell a dog dirt.
I don't smell too good, natural.
You usually smell a dog dirt.
You smell great, though.
I think you have a neutral smell.
Yeah, I don't smell of anything. I'm like the guy in perfume.
Nick, it's been great having you. And we'll see you around. We both share the same podcast studio, so we'll see you around.
Great to see you, mate. Amazing. Thanks for coming on.
Guys, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that at thefriendshiponion at castmedia.com. That's cast with a K. And before we go, we should let you know that the holiday merch is still available. And the best thing that we've sold so far that I like is the red holiday Christmas hoodie. It's cozy. It looks great. It's almost kind of Manchester United red. Fantastic hoodie.
We'll get you one, Nick.
Yeah, we'll get
free.
You one.
It's free. We're going to give you one for free. But you can only get it for like another day. So if you want to get any of the holiday merch, get it now.
And FriendshipOnionPodcast.com.
FriendshipOnionPodcast.com. And if you want to leave us a message, please do tell us what you want to see or hear on the show or any info. And you can leave that at the speakpipe.com/TheFriendshipOnion.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Toodles.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.